The song said, I know you can do all things. Do you believe that? The Bible also says, you can do all things. If you believe he can do all things, then you also can trust that you can do all things because he lives in you. Before I start part two of this message, I have a testimony about the goodness of God too. And I'm going to take the time to give it. At the beginning of January, I had a new vision for how I wanted my bedroom and my office to look. And the bedside tables and the lamps on the bedside tables did not fit with my new vision. So I decided I was going to put them up for sale on Facebook Marketplace, and then I would use that money to buy the new ones, because I'll go find them on Marketplace too. Well, I put those up at the beginning of January. They were up there for 3.5 months, not one bite. Not even a nibble. Not even a, are these still available? You know, the thing that you just press, yeah, okay, not one bite. Friday, we signed a contract for some of the upgrades that I want to see in my bedroom and my office. And now these tables, which I moved out of the bedroom because I didn't want them there anymore, they're sitting in the office, taking up all that space, and I'm like, okay, I got to either sell them. They either got to sell or I'm going to put them out on the curb on Monday. So I relisted them on Marketplace. I'm not that I took them down, but you know, if you relist them, they come up to the top again. So I relisted them with a couple other pieces of furniture that were sitting in the way, needing to be either sold or out on the curb on Saturday afternoon. Within an hour, they not only were sold, but picked up. I had 11 responses within the first 5 minutes. Contacted one lady. She, can I come get them right now? Absolutely, come right now. Took her 20 minutes to get there. She bought them all, paid for them all, drove away with them all. The minute she laid the money in my hand, I mean the minute, the very second it touched my fingers, God said, in the offering tomorrow. Oh, my God. Oh, yay, God. I didn't even think about it. Folded it up, took it inside, stuck it in my bag for the offering tomorrow, Sunday. Good deal. Just listen to the goodness of God. On Monday, when I opened Facebook Marketplace to kind of begin to think, what do they have that I might want? There was one piece of furniture that came right up that I'm like, oh my gosh, that's it. That's mine. I called the lady. I actually called her. Said, it's just what I want. Can I come get it? We made an appointment to meet, went up there. She was in Sebring. Looked at the piece of furniture, and she was telling me how she's moving, selling everything in her house, and she only had a few pieces left, and she was so grateful. Yeah, 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 all that. So I said to her, just, you know, kind of offhand, do you happen to have any bedside tables for sale? And she says, oh, yeah, I actually do. I've got, so look, come on in, come look at them. First of all, I walked in her house, and all her flooring is very similar to what we're going to have put in. Walked into her bedroom, and there are two bedside tables that are just perfect for what I want. I bought them on the spot. Those three pieces of furniture cost me less than the money I put in the offering. I mean, and they're very strong, sturdy, high-end. Okay, good job. Thank you, God. And I'm standing there while Larry's carrying them out to the car, talking with her, and realizing she has this beautiful gray on one side, silver on the other comforter on her bed. I said, are you willing to part with that? She said, well, yeah, I'll part with that, and I have shams to match it. So for another $5, I've got a bedspread and shams to go with the end tables that I bought, to go with the new flooring that's going to be. How good is God? She put the money in my hand, God said, in the offering tomorrow. I put it in the offering. God brought me far above and beyond what I could have thought about the very next day. How good is God? The goodness of God. I guess I want to say, just wait. Wait for his timing. Wait for his word. Wait for his instructions. He's too good. We cannot ignore him. Well, I mean, we can, and we do, but to our detriment. That's part of why we become container Christians, because we ignore God. We ignore what he said. We don't do what he said. We don't do what that one song said, Spirit, lead me. Spirit, lead me. Do you pray every day when you get up, or even the night before you get up, asking God to lead you through the day the next day? Because it's so important to ask him to lead you. He will, but he's not going to lead you if you don't ask him, if you don't submit yourself to him, if you don't surrender yourself to him. In Container Christians, we were talking about the fact that we live in a limited environment that we would not have to live in, that it's not God's will for us. We allow a limited environment in our lives. And that's not God's will for us. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly, have it to the full. That's a limitless life. He came that we could have the kind of life that God has. And Jesus said, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. If he has set you free, and he has, your life is to be a life without limit. We have an enemy. His desire for us is different. He doesn't want us to live a limitless life. His desire for us is that he can contain us. Satan fights a war of containment. What is a war of containment? A war of containment is a war that is fought to stop the progress of something. You don't go into that war with the idea that you're going to take over the country. You just stop the progress. Stop the spread of something. Vietnam was a war of containment. The Korean War was a war of containment. They were both fought to contain, to stop the spread of communism in Southeast Asia. That's the kind of war Satan fights, and his main goal is to contain, to stop the spread, to stop the progress of the kingdom of God. Now, on a personal level, he wants to stop you, contain you, keep you from making the progress that you can make as a Christian. Keep you from becoming all that God has ordained you to be, designed you to be, is working with you to cause you to grow into, to become. And ultimately, his goal is to kill you by keeping you out of the presence of God. We were created, remember we talked about the environment that we were created to live in, which is the presence of God, which, by the way, tonight, were you just aware of that amazing presence of God, that glory of God transmitted to us by the peace of God? I'm just basking. That's the presence of God, the peace of God. That's the environment we were created to live in. And that is what Satan wants to keep us out of. Remember I talked to you about the goldfish whose name was Carrot? Who, because he was never removed from his natural environment, which is a big lake, he grew to be 4 feet long and weighed 67 pounds. I was talking with Brittany before service. That goldfish was bigger than Luna. Luna is not 4 feet tall. She doesn't weigh anywhere close to 67 pounds. That goldfish was enormous. But why? Why did that goldfish grow so big? Because he was living in the environment God created for him to flourish in. And he lived to be 20 years old or more. More than 20 years old. And we commented last time that the typical goldfish that lives in an aquarium or in your little fishbowl, his life lasts about 2 to 3 months. Now, what would you rather have for your life? A fishbowl container life? Or one lived in the environment God created you to live in, where you can flourish? Satan's goal, I picture these goalposts, his goal is to keep you out of the presence of God, to keep you out of the environment that you were created to live in, to grow and flourish in. The limit that we allow in our lives is there because of our wrong thinking, our wrong choices, our wrong words, and the failure to even use our words to grow into what God wants us to become. He gave us our words. In our words, he invested all of his power. Your words have the same power that the words of Jesus have. Do you use them? Do you recognize that they are such a powerful weapon? We're going to look at a Bible verse, a scripture reference, that shows us, highlights the importance of our words. Let's see that. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 and 9. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, asking him for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. He came to Jesus for help. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? What's the first thing Jesus did? He asked the man, what do you want? Shall I come and heal him? That's what God is waiting for you to tell him. What do you want? God knows every situation in your life. He's waiting for you to tell him with those powerful words you have what you want. The centurion replied, Lord, I don't deserve that you come under my roof. By the way, don't carry on a conversation with God about what you don't deserve. Because God knows what you don't deserve. And he knows what you do deserve. You deserve a life in hell. But God didn't want that for you. It's called grace. He sent his son, Jesus, to redeem us from that life. So don't talk to him about what you deserve or don't deserve, because worth is not an issue. Our worth is not an issue. It's the worth of Jesus that is the issue. And God declared Jesus worthy. He said, the lamb that was slain, worthy is the lamb that was slain. So don't talk to him about your worth. Don't talk to him about what you deserve. He said, Lord, I don't deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. Jesus, just speak the word right here from where you are. You do not have to come to my house. Speak the word from where you are. Do you do that? Because that's what the word is for. It's for you to speak the word from where you are. You don't have to run to the church to get somebody to pray for you. You don't have to send a prayer request to the prayer team. Those are all excellent things to do, advisable, highly recommended. But first, before you do either of those, speak the word from where you are. God wants to know, what do you want? So, what do you want? Where's your faith? What do you want? What are you believing? Tell God what you want. Then send that prayer request. Get the prayer team in agreement with you. Then seek out the pastors to pray with you. But he said, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word from where you are, right here in the middle of the city, and my servant will be healed. Why did he believe that? Because he understood authority. He said, I myself am a man under authority. In other words, he's a centurion, and he has higher officers over him. And I have soldiers under me. And I tell this one, go, and he goes. Come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. That right there is the best description I can give you of what the words that you have given to you by God can do in your life. Anything and everything that Satan is doing in your life, anything and everything that's happening in your sphere of influence or in your life that is not godly, you have the authority to say to it, go! Get out of here, sickness. Get out of here, disease. Get out of here, strife. Get out of here. Go. You have that authority, and if you use it, it will go. To say to another, come. You can speak to your home, to the atmosphere. Peace, come. Strife, go. Tension, go. Anxiety, go. Arguments, go. All this dis-ease, go. Get out of here. Peace, come. Peace, come to my house. Peace, come to my children. Peace, come to my... You call things that you want to come. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. I say to my body, be healed. Do you do that? Your body's your servant. You know that? Your body was given to you to serve you on this earth. You have no other reason for having a body other than that it serve you in carrying out the will of God on this earth. So, body, be healed. Do this. And he does it. You know, I have to tell you this week. On Sunday, my body decided that it wanted to throw sciatica in my face. And I've told you many times, I am so accustomed to saying, stop! And it stops. I say, we ain't playing that game. And we ain't playing that game. Get out of here. No! Whatever phrase comes to my mind. I just don't entertain it. But this week, every time I said, stop, it looked at me and laughed. I said, get out of here. It stayed. I said, we're not playing that game. It said, I am. Like, no, we're not doing this. And yet it hung on all week. Well, it's, you know, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So Tuesday I got my hair cut. I went to my hairdresser. And she knows me very well. And she knows what I've been through. And so she asked me, well, how are you doing, Donna? And I said, you know what, I'm doing so well. I told her about all the progress I'm making, how much better I feel, how much stronger I am, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But this week, I said, my body has been attacked with sciatica, and it's just not giving up. As soon as I told her that, the Holy Spirit whispered in my ear, Donna, where are you out from under authority? Because, you see, we only have authority if we are under authority. And if the commands that you are giving are not being obeyed, you got to look at yourself. You got to say, where am I out of alignment with God? And I knew as soon as he asked me, I was out of alignment with God because now I was entertaining those thoughts of pain, of sciatica, negativity. I'm carrying a negative vibe. And that's not God's will for me. So I had to repent of that negativity, tell God, I'm declaring a fast from negativity, no negative words, thoughts, actions, fasting negativity. Our authority comes from Jesus. We're under his authority, and so we have the same authority in the earth over our lives, over the sphere of influence he has given us, that he has. It should be the same as this. Say the word from where you are, and it will happen. You don't have to go to somebody. I encourage you to. It's advisable. It's wisdom. But first, say the word where you are. You send me a prayer request. Have you prayed over it yourself? Have you spoken to the situation yourself? We got a prayer request for protection for a group going on a class trip. None of us could go all the way to where that class trip was taking place, but didn't you pray for it? Didn't you speak? See, it's an example of how you don't have to go where the problem is. You don't have to go to the church for the help. You don't have to go to the prayer. You need to decide what you believe about that situation and speak it out. This power that God put in our words is for everyday living. It should be happening in your life time after time, many times, unless you just don't have any trouble on any day. Then I guess you have nothing to speak over. But I'm not like that. I got a lot of things to speak over. And as I was reminded this week, you have to stay under the authority of God, in alignment with God, in order for your words to carry the power that God gave them. Let's go on. What's next? Ah, yes. Then Jesus said to the centurion, the one who said, "No, you don't have to come to my house, just speak from where you are." Jesus said to him, "Go, let it be done just as you have believed it would." Just as you have believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. At what moment? At the moment that the centurion's faith connected with the words that Jesus spoke, his servant was healed. That's the way it works for you. At the moment that what you believe connects with the words you speak, it'll happen for you. That's the way it is for us. That's the way it was for this man. That's the way it is because that's who Jesus is. Where do we go from here? Let's see. Oh, yes, yes. Isn't this our church's favorite verse? I don't know that it's true. I think most churches have a verse that speaks of their congregation, that speaks of their faith, that speaks of what they believe. The church that I came from, I say that church's verse was Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody in the church knew that verse. Everybody in the church understood that verse. Here it's Jeremiah 29:11. "For I know the plans I have for you," and I don't have to preach this verse because it's been so preached, but I'm still going to talk about it. God knows the plans he has for you. Are those the plans you want? Are you willing to submit to his word? Are you willing to submit to his authority? Because you won't get the plans he has for you if you are not submitted to him. "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord, "plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." How can you have God's plans for your life if you won't do what he says? You can't. You will never have God's plans for your life until you acknowledge him as Savior, as Lord of your life, and let that Holy Spirit lead you into the plans that God has for you. He knows the plans that he has for us, and I wonder how deeply it grieves him when he can't bring them to pass in our life because we don't obey him. We don't submit to his authority. It is imperative, that's the word I will use, that we take Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that we submit our lives to his authority, that we take the word of God at face value and do what it says and let him lead us through our life so that we can have the life that God intended for us. God will never take you beyond your faith. He will never take you beyond what you give him permission to do. So ask him to take you beyond yourself. You know where you are. You know where you are not. That song we sing, Oceans, that says, "Lead me where my trust is without borders." In other words, take me out of my comfort zone. Take me out of that place where there's a limit in my life. Ask God to take you. That song is asking him to take us beyond ourselves. Take us where we can't touch the bottom, where there's no foothold for us, where we rely only on him. So ask him to do that for you. And we're going to take a look at a man in the Bible named Jabez, a man who did just that with God. And you may never have heard of him, but if you have heard of him, it's likely because you either heard about or read the little book called The Prayer of Jabez. Jabez is a very obscure man in the Bible. He's a man who set a course for his life with his words, and he stayed the course. Bishop just finished a message series telling us how important it is to set a course for our life and to stay on that course. The story of Jabez is very brief. It's only two verses long. in 1 Chronicles chapters 1 through 9, the Holy Spirit is giving us a list of all of the sons born in the lineage from Adam through Abraham to Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, all of their sons, all the way down to David. But in the middle of that recitation of who begat who, and that's how I know you've probably never heard of it because you don't read those genealogies. They're not the part of the Bible that we all run to read. But in the middle of that, the Holy Spirit stops to tell us about a man named Jabez. He didn't stop anywhere in that genealogy list to talk a little bit about Abraham or Isaac or David or Moses. Nothing. It's just so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so along for 373 verses. Chapters 1 through 9. But in the middle of it, the Holy Spirit stops to talk to us about a man named Jabez. That says to me that Jabez is very important, even though he's very obscure. The Holy Spirit does not provide us with any biographical information about who Jabez was, but Bible scholars believe that he was a scribe in the court of King Solomon, a man of influence, of high reputation, a governor over some of Solomon's territories, a man who had many disciples. In fact, the city where all the scribes under Solomon lived was named Jabez after him. And you can find that in 1 Chronicles 2:55. So let's read about Jabez and talk about him quickly. Now, Jabez was more honorable than his brothers and sisters. His brothers. Probably his sisters, too. I don't know. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez means he will cause pain. How would you like that to be your name? No, me either. Every time he spoke his name, they say, "Hey, you who will cause pain. Hey, you who will cause pain. Come over here, you who will cause pain." Every time they spoke his name, they were saying, "He will cause pain." He started life with a curse declared over his life by his mother. But the Holy Spirit said he's more honorable than his brothers. And it doesn't tell us why. And I always wonder those things. So I asked the Holy Spirit, because more honorable than his brothers is the Holy Spirit's assessment of this man. So, Holy Spirit, what made him more honorable? This is what the Holy Spirit told me. His heart for God, number one. He had a hatred for evil, number two. It was a fear of doing evil in his life that made him more honorable. Evil is anything that God cannot agree with. Jabez had a great aversion to doing anything in his life that God could not agree with. Do you? Jabez asked God to bless him. That's number three. So that he could be a blessing to others. His heart was focused on being a blessing to others instead of causing pain. Number four, reasons Holy Spirit gave me why he was more honorable. He took responsibility for his situation, and he did what was necessary to change it. Number five, he refused to be limited by the words of men. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed." Why is the word indeed in there? There is no word in the Bible that's unimportant. When Jesus used the word indeed, he used it to mean for sure, for certain, truly. He said, "You are my disciples indeed, if you continue in my word." Jabez is saying, "God, bless me for sure. Bless me big. Bless me large. Bless me without fail so that I can bless others. Enlarge my territory." Why does he want more territory? He wants more influence. Why does he want more influence? So that he can influence more people. His influence to be a blessing. His motive was right. It was not selfish, not self-interested, but he wanted to be a blessing, to be influence, have influence so he could bless more people. He prayed, that your hand would be with me. What's the key to success? That God's hand is with you. Don't try to do anything without God. He prayed that God would give him good success in his life, that God would keep me from evil so that I may not cause pain. He wanted God to keep him from evil. How would you like that to be your name? You wouldn't, would you? But look what Jabez did. His words, his prayer, shaped his life. Canceled everything that that name his mother gave him, foretold. Canceled it all. The Holy Spirit called him more honorable. His words overcame the name he was given. And you know people will try to give you names too. Don't buy into them. Don't let them tell you who you are, who you aren't, or what you are. Your words shape your life. Jabez's words shaped his life. His words in that prayer set the course of his life to the point where the Holy Spirit said he's more honorable than his brothers. Wouldn't you like the Holy Spirit to say that about you? To say that you were an honorable person? You want that to be the testimony of your life? Bishop said a couple Sundays ago, when you push through your obstacles, you make your strongest statement to God. It's a statement of your faithfulness. It's a statement of your willingness to follow his course for your life and not follow your own desires, not live for your own comfort. What kind of statement are you making with your life? Are you making a statement that says, I believe God, I take him at his word, I submit my life to his will, I follow the course that he set out for my life, I'm going to stay the course by pushing through every obstacle? The only way that we can have the life that God knows he wants to give us. The only way we can live in the plans that God has for us. Is to believe his word. To take him at his word. To submit to his word. To allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. So that we, like Jabez, do not cause pain, so that we, like Jabez, do not bring evil but blessing into the lives of others. So let's tonight with Jabez say, God, God, bless me indeed. Bless me for sure. God, enlarge my territory so I can influence more people for you, so that I can influence them for the kingdom. God, let your hand be with me. Prosper me. Let my life be filled with health, peace, prosperity, favor, and rest, so that people want what I have, so that I can lead them into the kingdom, so that I will not cause pain. God, make me that kind of person. And we know that God was pleased with Jabez's prayer and life because the last words are, God granted him what he requested. If your requests are as honorable and your life as submitted to God as Jabez's life was, the Holy Spirit will grant you what you request. Father, we thank you for the wonder of your word. For the wonder of our words that carry your power. Father, may we use them rightly. In Jesus' name, amen.